Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Now, we all know that supporting big problem behaviors in the classroom is challenging, and we know that using proactive preventative strategies is going to be the right path. But on the other hand, what do we do when problem behaviors happen? What do we do when aggression, meltdowns, tantrums happen in our classrooms, in our therapy sessions, in our home? We need a plan in place for de-escalation. That is exactly what my newest mini course, De-escalation 101, is going to give you. It is going to give you a step-by-step plan on how to safely and appropriately support a child through a big behavior and in a way that doesn't ruin student-adult relationships. I love that this is a mini course. The runtime is a little over an hour, so you can get back to supporting your kids. I know you don't have hours and hours to sit in professional development. This course is designed for any gen ed, special ed teacher, clinician, administrator, parent that is supporting students with big behaviors. The toolkit that goes along with it, you guys, oh my gosh, it's one of my favorite toolkits I've ever created. We accept school POs and have group discounts for schools because we want your entire school community taking this course, because every adult that supports students should have these strategies in their toolbox. Click the link in show notes to learn more. This is only available for a limited time, and I want you to learn all of these essential de-escalation strategies.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper Podcast. Today we are going to talk about what to do during situations of work refusal. If your student is just refusing to do work and you're like, I don't really know what to do next, let's get into that. What should we do? But let's start off with what not to do. I feel like back in the day, like a long time ago, like maybe when I first started teaching, there was like discussions of like, should we do like hand over hand compliance, like pick up the child's hand and force them to do the puzzle, force them to do the work task? This is exactly what we are not going to do. We know better. We don't have to do that. We know more. There's no reason to ever touch a child unless there's a safety risk or unless you're an OT and there's some kind of specific tool or thing that we're doing OT related. I'm not an OT, so I don't know. But we don't need to do hand-over-hand compliance because no need to do that. Not worth it for a puzzle or a work task. In a work refusal situation, we've got to be a little bit of a detective. We've got to figure out why. Why is he refusing to do the work? Is he refusing to do the work because he can't do the work, meaning it's too hard, or because he doesn't want to do the work? He's not motivated. I'm going to go back to one of my favorite frameworks, and maybe you've heard me talk about this before. I talk about this a ton when I do presentations, the can't do or won't do framework. I've actually talked about this on the podcast, and I had to look all the way back. It was episode 163. Can't do or won't do. Can't do or won't do looks at why problem behavior or why a mismatch of expectations is happening. In the can't do or won't do or framework, it identifies problem behavior as either being a can't do or a won't do. Can't do means the work is too hard and we have to either teach new skills or change the expectation. Won't do means that there's no motivation or not enough motivation or reinforcement and we need to adjust the reinforcer. So in work refusal, there's something going on. Because every choice we make, you, me, your kids, our students, is shaped by two things: our skills and ability to perform the action, and our motivation to act or not act on the particular options. We need both. We need the skills and we need the motivation. When I go get a coffee at Starbucks, I have both the skills and the motivation. I have the skills to go up to the cashier and order my coffee, and I have the motivation. I want coffee. Now, if I didn't have the motivation, I wouldn't go. And if I didn't have the skills, if I couldn't walk or I didn't have the skills to communicate, I wouldn't be doing that. So we need both. So in work refusal, we got to figure out what's going on. If they can't do the work, if it's too hard, we can't just throw reinforcement at the issue. Like, okay, let's put a token board or let's offer some more reinforcer, because it's not going to change the fact of the missing skills. And on the reverse, if they have the skills but they don't want to do it, we've got to make sure we're adjusting the reinforcer. So we have to figure out what is going on, and then we can really solve this problem for real. And hand-over-hand compliance doesn't do that. That's why we're avoiding that. So we want to look at first if it's a can't do. So if it's a can't do, we want to look at the skill. Let's say you're giving the child a work task. So you're like, well, they can do the work task, Sasha. They know how to match colors to items. It's matching maybe the color red to different red items. They know how to match that. But it's not just that. There's other skills involved in this work task. There's also work endurance or attention span. There's also response inhibition or impulse control. They have to ignore other things going on. There's also task initiation. They have to start the task. So it's not just the skill of matching colors. There's other executive functions involved in completing that work task that they have to do. And then let's look at reinforcement. Well, with this matching color work task, let's say they picked iPad from a choice menu. And they're like, well, they like the iPad, so they're motivated. Well, maybe they are kind of sick of the iPad. They get the iPad every day. And the games that you have on the iPad are kind of boring. So although they picked the iPad from the choice menu, it actually no longer works as a reinforcer. So we've got to dig in a little bit more beyond just this casual, like, well, yeah, he can do the work. He's done it before. And like, yeah, he picked it from a choice menu, or like, I'm offering something I know he likes. Because we can be incorrect on these quick assumptions. So you're like, okay, dang, what should I do then? How do I figure out if it's a can't do or a won't do? Some of you aren't going to like my answer. My answer here is take a little bit of data. I know. Take a little bit of data. So what you're going to do is you're going to do a little test. So let's stick with this idea, this work task. We've got this color work task. I'm going to give this color work task to Johnny. And I'd be like, okay, Johnny, I've got this color work task for you. And if you can do the whole thing, I'm going to offer you high-powered reinforcer. Insert here. Think of what Johnny's most favorite, biggest, best, baddest high-powered reinforcer could be. Something you don't normally give. Time on YouTube, extra recess, special treat, candy, whatever it could be. Something awesome. Line leader, lunch with teacher. Something really, really good. And he's going to get it immediately. So Johnny, if you can do this whole color matching work task, you're going to be line leader. You're going to get time on YouTube. You're going to get 3 slinkies. You're going to get to play slime. If you can get this colored work task done in 10 minutes and set the timer. This is all your data is. It's not that complicated. And then go. So see if he does it. And compare it to how long it took him to do the first time. So if originally he just didn't do the work task at all, and now all of a sudden he can do that work task in 5 minutes, you know it's a motivation issue. You know he can do the skills. You know it's a won't do. But if he sat there and is like, nope, I still can't do it. I still am not doing it. I hate this work task, throws it on the ground, or after 10 minutes, maybe only does 2 of them, you know it's a skill issue. So this test is very telling. Because even when presented with this high-powered reinforcer, can he do it or not? And we're not saying we're going to give this high-powered reinforcer every time, but it's going to point us in the right direction of a solution. So now you know if it's a can't do or won't do. So let's talk about what to do in each scenario. If it's a can't do, if he's missing the skills, now we got to step back and figure out what's going on. Because as we said, it's not just the color matching. It's also work endurance and attention span. Maybe he can do the color matching, but you're expecting him to sit for too long. So maybe we need to trial and error some things. Maybe it's too long for him to sit. Maybe there's too many tasks included. Maybe he needs some breaks built in. Maybe it's task initiation and you need to get things started for him. Maybe there's some planning issues and you need to set up the task for him. So there's some things to trial in there. Because your something with the expectations and the skills is off. And it might not be the core academic. It might be some of the executive functions around the academic. So look at both and try some different things. If it's a won't do, if the won't do is the issue, then we need to figure out what is actually a reinforcer. I know he always asks for iPad. I know it seems like praise is a reinforcer, but it's not. So then we have to do some reinforcer assessments, some trial and error. We need to adjust the reinforcer. We need to give him a why. And if you're like, well, Sasha, he doesn't need a reinforcer. He should just want to do it. Well, you should just want to come to work without a paycheck. We need a why. And praise, good grades, peer approval, work completion is not a reinforcer for every child. So you've got to figure out what is a reinforcer for him. We have to get creative with a lot of kids. And if you have done your job of establishing rapport, which we talked about a few weeks ago, we do a lot better at figuring out what reinforcers are for our kids. So for work refusal, we are using our can't do, won't do framework, doing that test to figure out if it's a can't do or won't do, which puts us in the position to know what to do next. We don't have to do hand over hand compliance. We don't have to wait them out. We now have action steps at each step of the way. And we know what to do to support our kids who are in that situation of work refusal.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.